1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Hey, you know, we never tell anybody where they're biting, but...
No. That Randy Grimes does a pretty good job for not even having a microphone.
What?
Didn't he sound good?
Oh, man. It sounded like a production.
I can't believe it.
Oh, man. Not even. What's on your mind this morning, Randy?
Not a lot. Eating. Got a mouthful. I'm going to Leech Lake today.
Whoa.
I'm going to go see Brother Mike.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm not bringing a boat, so hope he's got one I can use up there.
So, Big Mike, one of our regular guests here on On the Water in the Air, and you're going to, what are you going to ask him?
Can I use your boat?
I'm going to use your boat. I bet he's going to be pretty busy working all weekend anyway.
I'd say if you bought him a buffet at the casino, he'd be...
I don't know. Maybe just an ice cream cone, he'd be happy.
Yeah. I don't know. You better check the casino. He may be banned.
Yeah, really. Only one time through, Mike. One time.
Oh,
free
man.
Buffet? His eyes light up. Oh, man.
Okay, you don't have a joke of the day before we get to our special guest?
You know, I was here earlier today, and they got a call from a police officer, and I took the call.
What?
There's nobody up front, so I grabbed the phone, and, I said, Watertown Radio, and this police officer called in the radio station. He goes, I have this really interesting case here. And I go, oh, really? What's that? He says, an old lady just shot her husband for stepping on the floor that she just mopped. I'm like, holy cats. Did you arrest the woman? He goes, not yet, because the floor's still wet.
Golly. Oh my God. What the hell? We had to wait for that all week?
Somebody got a bubble gum this morning.
Yeah. This thing only happens once a week.
I'm on vacation from now until Tuesday.
Thank goodness my daughter stepped out. I just slipped on the H-E-double-L. Yeah. Sorry about that, Randy Grimes.
I'm leaving today. I'm going to go up to... I'm going to stop my mom's. I'm going to go to Leech Lake and do a little fishing up till Tuesday.
All right.
A couple of us are heading out to Oahe, I hear.
A couple of us? You going too?
Yeah, I'm going north.
I am?
Yeah. I'll be the north part. I'm going out to the big town of Java today.
Oh, are you really? Are you going to get yourself a cup of Java in Java?
I'm going to get a cup of Java in Java.
I heard the bite just took off here in the last few, four, five, 6 days at the Akaska area.
In the Morrow, I heard it's ridiculous, so that's where we're headed.
Uh-oh, we might be meeting you up there. We've got the Joy Ranch.
Yeah.
Joy Ranch benefit, we didn't really call it a benefit. They auctioned off a little fishing trip, and we decided as much as these two young men paid, and they're not that young, as much as they paid, I thought maybe we should take them on a cool trip.
Well, you didn't want to take them to the kiddie pond?
Not the kiddie ponds. If they'd have paid $100, we'd have done that. It was a little bit more. So they're going to get the special treatment. We'll be at the Whitlock Bay Supper Club tonight.
Good
say hi to Chuck.
Yes.
We will. All right. Well, you know what? There's been lots going on in the fishing
big
world.
Big week. Oh, my God. Talk about it.
There's been a guy that's been a part of a lot of this action.
Don't tell me, but he's part of that big stone action. That's been everything. Everything's been happening up there.
He's got, let's find out what has been happened. Nate Gilkey with us this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning, Nate.
Oh, boy, what has been happening in big stone and across the world of fishing in your world there, Nate?
Well, Big Stone, we wrapped up our last tournament out there for the season on Sunday with the AIM out there. Every year I look forward to getting out there, and usually around that April 23rd, April 25th time frame for the border opener, and then the following 3 or 4 weeks with all the circuit tournaments and local tournaments that go on out there. So it's a fun month. I always look forward to that time frame each year, and this year didn't disappoint in any way, shape, or form, I guess I could say. We had three top 10 finishes out there in the events we fished. We fished the Minnesota Tournament Trail out there. We fished the local border tournament out there, the Big Stone Liquor Store Tournament, and then the AIM came in and stopped there here just this past weekend, and we were quite successful in that venture as well. So it's been a good run out there.
Before we talk about what you won for a one-day shootout, which is pretty impressive in this parts of the country, let's talk about what Nate Gilkey has been about and where he's been and where he's heading right now in the world of fishing.
Sure. Well, I've been trying to get into fishing tournaments and getting my foot in the door and some industry stuff, some promotional stuff for the last few years now. It's a different world. It's an interesting world. It intrigues me. There's a lot of good information out there, a lot of good people in that industry. Started fishing some local tournaments several years back, mid-2000 time frame, and just each year I'd go by, I'd kind of get a little bit more and more involved and jump into a few circuit events here the last several years, doing the MTT and the AIM format circuits, it's just kind of taken off. I think this year I'll fish 14 or 15 tournaments. Last year I did 16, and the year before that, right around 13 or 14. So it's busy. It's kind of a full-time gig on the 3 days a week, 4 days a week kind of thing for 6 months of the year. So
when we talk local, I mean, you're pretty local to us here. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up out in western Minnesota, Montevideo, which is not too far from the Watertown area, about an hour east there on 212. So I grew up fishing the little lakes around that area, Big Stone. We'd go up there on occasion, Lac La Parle, a lot of other small little, I call them the mud puddles out there, and farm country, and a lot of good little walleye lakes out there. And you guys, right across the border there, have the Glacial Lakes region, which has exploded in the last 5-10 years. A lot of good fishing out there. You don't have to go north. You don't have to go to Walker to Leech Lake area. You can catch them in your backyard. It's fun to go up there, but they're all out there. So.
Yeah, I get to kill two birds with one stone, though. I can make my mother happy.
He gets to stop and see his mom.
Yeah.
Mommy.
Well, Nate, give us a quick rundown on just what happened then. I mean, I know not too many people want to publicize what they make, but if I can remember the amount of the check for a first-place finish in a one-day tournament, I believe $5,500, and what did you need to do to pick this baby up?
Well, that's an accurate number, and then on top of that, we picked up an extra $1,000 through Warrior, Warrior Cash Certified Tournament. The Warrior sponsors the AIM events, and if you're Warrior Cash registered and you win, that's another four-figure paycheck from them. So thanks to Warrior Boats for that opportunity as well. So we had a little lucrative day there. Our day started Saturday morning. I had one day to pre-fish this event, and Sean, my partner, he and I, when we can, we usually try to split up our pre-fish and take both boats out and go explore different parts of the lakes and do different techniques and really try to come together with a plan at the end of the day. And the prior tournaments up there, MTP and MWC, which I didn't fish due to a conflict, scheduling conflict, but those tournaments, a lot of those fish were caught with corks and leeches and jigs and minnows. The water temperatures were still, not at the point where that crankbait bite, spinner bite had started yet. So we had spent a lot of time watching bobbers, which in those tournaments, and I'm not a big bobber fisherman, so that was a tough pill to kind of swallow. It's fun to watch them go down, but when they're just floating there and doing nothing, it's like, man, are we doing the right thing? Should we move? Should we try something different? So there's a lot of factors in play there. But so we sent Sean off on a little mission to do some exploring on the rock piles and the shoreline breaks with some jigs and minnows and some bobbers and leeches on Saturday. And I said, I'm going to go check that basin bite out. I think that, the water temp had come up through the week. It was in the low 60s, 62, 63 degrees. And I had a good feeling that basin bite was going to go. And normally I'm a northern half fisherman on that lake. I like to make that long run, Big Stone 26 miles long from the foot of the lake to the cattails on the north end. I like to make that run and fish up on that north end up there. But as you know, Lynn, the lake up there has just been choked out with that curly tail pond leaf weed. It's this last year and this year it's everywhere you go, shore to shore, out in the basin, and it's thick up there. So it really cut the lake in half for us because we can't use our techniques up there effectively to get fish out of those weeds. I think there's fish in there still. It's just got to change completely to try to fish that stuff. And it's hard to know that there's fish in there when you can't graph them. I like to be able to see them on the graph to know that they're there. And so we stuck to that south end and put together a trolling pattern that was putting fish in the boat pretty much instantaneously on Saturday morning. We had some nice 18, 19-inch fish in the boat right away, a few smaller fish, and finally we kind of dialed in. We were working about a mile stretch, and we dialed in about a half mile within that mile stretch that had some bigger fish on it. And between myself and our partners that came in and made a few passes through there, we had 6 overs on Saturday pre-fishing. So we kind of had our pattern set, and then it was just a matter of hoping it would hold through Sunday. The wind was supposed to come up Sunday. A little bit of cloud cover came in. Didn't know how that would affect our bite, if it would change it or if it would shut it down or make it go better. In the case of end result, it obviously helped us quite a bit. So Sunday morning, we put the game plan in place. We started our trolling runs. Now we're working the basin out there, 10 feet of water, 11 feet of water, 9 feet of water, kind of depending on how far out in the middle of the lake you go versus if you're kind of closer to the one side of the lake shore or the other side, you can get in that 9, 10, 11 foot of water range. And the fish are just scattered out there. They're out there roaming around, you know, eating perch and baby shiners, baby sheephead, baby white bass, whatever they can find. There's a lot of bait in that lake, and those fish are just out there roaming, so it's a matter of getting your baits in front of them. I like to use the side imaging on my Lowrance units to kind of visualize where those pots of fish are. You can mark those pots of fish on the side imaging out there. You don't really see them on the traditional sonar under the boat, because the boat seems to push those fish out to the side. So
that is true.
That was our game.
That was true.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yep. So we were running two different kinds of baits in that 10 foot of water. We were running flicker shads, Berkeley flicker shads, in the number 7 size, and then we were running the custom painted number 5 glass shad wraps from Rapla. And we had a hot color, but it was a custom painted color. And normally, when you can put 4 lines in the water, I got 4 different color baits on until I find a bait that's firing a little bit, and then I'll maybe go 2 baits of that color and keep the other 2 switched up. In this case, we had 3 of that color on, and we kept switching the third one up, and it worked for us. We literally switched colors twice on that second, or that single colored rod out, and that was it. And those other 3, we rode them all day long, and the cloud cover came in, and I was thinking, well, maybe we got to switch colors with that cloud cover coming in, and they kept firing, so we just kept letting them ride.
When you say why would a guy let them ride? Let's explain to people what size of fish that you ended up for your 5 largest on the card, and then tell us how many you caught throughout the day.
Sure. Well, just to back up and give the listeners a little history on AIM, what the AIM format is a catch, record, release format. So typically, us tournament anglers are limited to slot restrictions on lakes, or in the case of Big Stone, there's no slot size, but we're limited to how many over 20-inch fish we can take by state law. What the AIM format does is allows you to take a picture of the fish, and it can be any size up to the tournament maximum and the tournament minimum, which is set by the tournament directors. But it really eliminates us having to play the guesswork game of should we keep this 21-incher that we catch right away in the morning, or let it go and hope that we catch a 28-incher later in the day. So that format is very key in allowing us as anglers to go out there and just fish for the 5 biggest fish we can get. So our day started out 15 minutes into Sunday morning. Our day started out with a double. We had a 20 and a 3/4-incher, and we had a 24 and 3/4-incher, and the outside board went on one side. We were fighting that one. The outside board on the other side went, and that one we started dragging just to get the other fish in. We didn't want to get greedy and try to get both of them in at the same time and lose them, so we fought the one fish like we normally would. We got that one in. We fought the second fish, got that one in, and 15 minutes in the day, we had a little over 9 pounds on the card. So our day started out well. Then we turned around. We made another pass. We got a 16 and an 18-incher. And at the end of that pass, we picked up a 12-incher. And normally you'd say, well, a 12-inch fish, that's not a tournament fish, but it's 0.8 pound on the scorecard. And I said, you put it on the card because the next fish you catch, you just upgrade it. You don't ever stop fishing. You don't, you're not, you know, with that AIM format, you're not restricted to having only eight fish in your boat and having to make the decision, should I keep that smaller fish and hope that I can catch a bigger one later kind of deal. So it really is a fun format to fish from that perspective. So the day wore on, we pretty much had our five fish by 9 o'clock, and then from 9 to 11:30 we had, I think we had 10 or 11 fish in the boat at that point. Once you get a card full of decent-sized fish, the smaller fish you're just catching and letting go. You're not processing them as you don't need them from a score point perspective or scorecard perspective, so you just catch them, let them go. But we were able to be sitting on roughly 19 and a half or 20 pounds at that 11 o'clock time frame. You know your weight because you've got the length and weight conversion chart in the boat with you while you're fishing, so you kind of know your weight throughout the day. If you're a numbers guy like me and you're always checking it to know exactly where you're standing, so we were sitting on that. We had an 18 incher and a 19 incher on the card. Those were our two smallest fish, and by 11:30, 12 o'clock, there had been a few more boats that came into that area, and I think those fish were getting a little bit too much pressure on them, and either were moving or just not biting, because we had made four passes and we didn't have a bite. So we were kind of looking at the lay of the land and where all the boats were setting up, making their runs, and where our run was. And nobody was north and east of us from our run, so we said, let's slide over, you know, 100 yards, 150 yards to the east, get in some new water where nobody was. And as soon as we started our first pass on that stretch, inside board dumps back, and here comes a 26.5-incher. And that's a big upgrade from an 18-incher on the card. We were able to get rid of that 18-inch fish. We didn't need him anymore. And reset the lines. Next pass, same thing, 27-incher came into the boat. So this is about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We have 2 hours to go. We've got a 27, a 26.5, a 24.75, a 21, and a 20.75 were our top five fish at that point. So we were feeling pretty good about it. But, you know, given the level of competition out there, you just don't know. You know, there's so many good anglers fishing these circuits today. You go out and do your best. You put your best five fish on the card, and you kind of go in and see where you fall. So that's what we did. We didn't catch another fish the rest of the day. We worked that area pretty hard. That wind had kicked up earlier in the day, and the waves were building throughout the day, and the green slime that is in the lake right now had laid down pretty nice the prior 2 days, but now it was starting to come back. And that was making that late afternoon trolling bite a little tougher, because it was, about 5 to 10 minutes aboard, and then you had to bring your rod and reel in and clear the slime off. And we had some slime weed prevention system in place that I had conjured up, and that wasn't even working anymore. It was working for a while before the slime got real bad, but by the end of the day, the slime was pretty tough.
Rubber band or a split shot?
Actually, a bead.
A bead. That's a good idea. A little more slipperier.
A combination of beads, actually. A big bead and a little bead. Another weighs down about a 5-foot leader of mono. Put a big 6-millimeter bead on, tie on a barrel swivel, tie on a 4 or 5-foot lead of the same kind of mono about a foot in front of the bait. Then I take another smaller 4-millimeter bead and I wrap it, double wrap it, so it's fixed on the line there, and then I got two beads to try to keep my bait running clean. So
a lot better than mine. I tried an inner tube. It was tough.
How big, a tractor or just a regular tire?
No, it was a tractor tube.
Oh.
Heck of a time. I kept dunking my board. I didn't know if I had a fish on or not.
At least when you had to go number two, you could you had something to sit in.
I could float around out there.
I can about imagine. Oh, my word.
I bet somebody thinks he's kidding.
I bet, yeah. That's the real joke. Oh, fun. Nate, that's... So the last hour or two, not a fish, but you had to have known that Artie Arndt was running around that lake trying to beat you.
You know, Artie is a heck of a fisherman on that lake, and has had quite a few past successes in tournaments, and as you know, Lynn, this year won the MWC out there late April, and I always say if Artie's on the lake, he's got a target on his back to beat because he knows that lake like the, you know, like no other. And I saw him bouncing around all day, and me and Mike running that green and purple Larson. It's pretty tough not to miss them.
You don't miss it.
I never saw him doing the same pattern I was doing, so I figured he had a good bite doing something else. And I know Artie likes to fish the shallow stuff, and he put a good bag together. I give him a lot of credit. I figured he'd be in the top three with that format. You know, big fish count. There's no looking for those small fish, and he did well. So
it kind of throws some of the luck stuff out of it. You know, now you're not lucking up, getting lucky catching those 18.5 to 19 3/4 inch fish. It's the big fish. Wins the game in that AIM format, and man, a lot of people are liking it. 66 boats, and you know, no complaining, great atmosphere, some good competition, yet everybody for a $300 entry fee can get in and say, hey,
that's all that costs is $300.
I have a chance. Was it 300?
Well, 300 bucks to get in. Yeah.
Well,
that's not much.
And, you know, the other good thing that it helps with is the fishery, Lynn, to the point of most fish never come into our boat live well. They never get beat up sitting in the live well all day. They don't get released later at the end of the tournament. They're literally out of the water for roughly a minute while you're processing them, and they're back in the lake swimming away, you know?
Yeah, and really, I mean, with the 64-degree water temperature, they were off and running when you let them go, yeah. Too. Very
yep,
little stress on them.
Yep.
So, you know, Nate, in the last 3 minutes here, let's talk about, you got a kids clinic coming up. I noticed the other day. Is that in Montevideo during the big parade and all the celebrations over there coming up?
Yep, we've got that coming up. I believe it's June 18th, Saturday, June 18th, down there at the Montevideo VFW building. We're running that in conjunction with the Montevideo Volunteer Fire Department's fundraiser that day, and it runs from noon to 2. Kids can come out. There'll probably be 6 or 7 of us MPAA members around running the various fishing stations, and kids can come out, learn about fishing, learn about invasive species, learn about bait, and get some free fishing prizes. So
you got good old Daryl Peters on the list there show up?
Oh, yeah, we'll have Daryl down there. So.
All right. He's a guest once in a while and a good friend of ours here on the Water in the Air. So anyway, I remember his comments from a couple years ago. He goes, you wouldn't believe the numbers of kids that show up for this one. That's great.
Last year, I think we had roughly 110 kids through for that 2-hour time frame. So
wow.
There's no registration needed. It's free to the public. You know, don't have to be from Montevideo. You have any surrounding area. If you want to drive from Watertown over, you're more than welcome to come over and talk fishing, learn some fishing, and get some free prizes. So
70-mile drive, everyone. So get on over to that that event over there in Montevideo and enjoy the day. Last couple things. Warrior Boats getting their name out there big time. Yeah.
Yeah, Warrior's been the sponsor for the AIM events here the last few years, and they're building good product up there in Melrose. I've run a 2090 this year and last year, and if you're a tiller boat guy, hands down that tiller is the best on the market, in my opinion. Storage, ride, fishability, it's all there. Warrior stepped up again with the national shootout here that's coming up June 3rd and 4th up on Superior and St. Louis River, and that's a qualifying event for the AIM. Each division that AIM runs in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and last year it was a Great Lakes division. This year they opted not to do the Great Lakes division and started a division up in North Dakota, and fishermen from each circuit or each division fish their respective circuits, and then the top 10 teams, 5 in the points and top 5 in the championship, qualify for this no entry fee shootout, and grand prize for the first place team is a brand new 2016 1898 Warrior with a 150 Yamaha on it. So
just for fishing 3 1-day tournaments. Not a bad gig, everyone.
Not a bad
gig
at all.
Hey, Nate, we quickly here in 20 seconds want to say thank you to you. Do you want to say thank you to anyone?
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, just say thank you to my wife for allowing me to do this, and all the sponsors that helped me out and keep me fishing, Warrior Boats and Jolly Roger Tackle, Larson's Quality Jigs, Berkeley Fishing, Kepp's Bait up in Glenwood, Foss Exteriors out of Waconia, and E&J Brothers Concrete out of Montevideo. You know, helped me out, throw a little money my way and a little product here and there, and goes a long way for us weekend warriors that are doing this as a hobby and kind of working our way, trying to get into a little bit more of the professional side of it thing. So really appreciate that. So.
All right. There you have it, everyone. Nate Gilkey from right over there in Waconia, Minnesota, grew up in western Minnesota and has had some fantastic success here. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.